You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Like the dude just said, yep, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right here. Right Side Radio, 2.07 PM, Tuesday, May the 10th. I will say this, you know, yesterday I started something that I plan to carry forward for the rest of this week. Every day I spend time honing in on a particular topic of interest for my opening monologue. 7 to 8 minutes of my views on a topic that may be in the news or impact conservatives or expose liberals. But this week I decided to go a slightly different route. And so as I've watched the blatant attempts by the left to violate the rights of citizens here in America, I decided that I needed to spend some time unpacking the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments to our U.S. Constitution are nearly sacred. They are foundational as to who we are as a nation. They are woven into the very fabric of this society in such a way that they transcend any one man or woman. They prevail over the whims of politicians. They are not allowed to be superseded or cast aside. Every citizen has certain rights, actual rights. More than privileges or permissions, they're actual rights. So this week, I'm taking a look at several of them. Yesterday, in my monologue, I spent time focusing on the First Amendment, the rights to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. Today, it's the Fourth Amendment. So to refresh your memory, the Fourth Amendment is the right as a citizen to not have your personal space, your home, your business, your effects, if you will, quote, unreasonably searched or seized by any arm of the government. Here's the actual wording. You ready? The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. In other words, it's very specific. It is required that a document be presented, attested to by the law enforcement officer who believes that they have actual probable cause, signed off on by a judge who then allows the issuance of a warrant to go and do that specific thing called for. Now, you can get outside the bounds of that warrant and you can see a potential conviction overturned. It's amazing the level of scrutiny that a search and seizure issue can bring to a trial. It's paramount to a free society that the government cannot merely invade your personal life or your personal space without probable cause. The Fourth Amendment, it was actually a product of colonial revulsion towards the what they called the writs of assistance and the general warrants that were used by agents of the British Empire. The Fourth Amendment was designed to guard against the kind of, you know, arbitrary and invasive searches and seizures that were systematically used to suppress dissent in the pre-revolution England. I've heard it said that John Adams and the Sons of Liberty, they decided to craft a broad prohibition on unreasonable searches and seizures in the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights, and it was Adams' language that is widely credited as the basis for the new Fourth Amendment that they passed in 1791. But it wasn't just in the colonies. There were dissenters in England at that time as well. People who had had enough of the king's ability to act as the sovereign in both their public and private lives. The phrase, every man's house is his castle, well, that actually originated from those dissents against the crown in England over 100 years before the Declaration of Independence was signed on what is now U.S. soil. But the law of England began to change with a lawsuit filed by an aggrieved citizen in the 1700s. In England, that case was known as Entick v. Carrington. Entick sued over the fact that he had had agents of the law break into his house, break the locks on his desk, and seize all of the papers and other materials that he had and believed were necessary. In a sweeping opinion that rocked England at the time, the court declared that the warrant and the behavior it authorized was subversive, and the issuance of a warrant for the seizure of a person's papers rather than only those alleged to be criminal in nature was contrary to the genius of the law of England. It flew against what they called the comforts of society at that time. The courts also said that the warrant was bad because it was not issued on a showing of probable cause, and no record was required to be made of what had been seized. Entick v. Carrington, that lawsuit in England in the 1700s, its very language is what made its way into our Fourth Amendment. But let me step back from history for a minute. Let me bring it home to you right now, right here in Alabama. Do you remember last year how they passed the Alabama medical marijuana law? You may recall the legislature debated over it. And I have on many occasions on this show even said that it was one of the worst bills ever carried by a Republican anywhere at any time. So set aside what your thoughts are on marijuana and the controversy that brings. Did you know that one of the reasons why I so adamantly opposed that law and why I was joined in full force by the Alabama Policy Institute and others was that it purports to allow for a warrantless search and seizure? You heard me. Here we are in a nation of rights. Rights that include the fact that we have a reasonable expectation of privacy within our own belongings, our own business, our own castles, if you will. But yet the Republican majority in our state capitol saw fit to allow for a warrantless search and seizure to be written into their marijuana legislation. Well, how that works? If the new Cannabis Commission wants to send its enforcement agents, and yes, the new law says they will have enforcement agents within the Cannabis Commission, they want to send them to your place of business or to any cannabis dispensary or to your home because you're a caregiver of medical marijuana, they don't have to have a warrant. The bill actually goes on to say that if, in fact, the cannabis enforcers want to show up at the local dispensary, for instance, and you just happen to be there or you happen to be too close to the door and look like you're there, they can search you as well. This amounts to no less than what we used to call the writs of assistance that the English authorities made use of in the days leading up to the Revolutionary War. Writs of assistance are what gave the English authorities the ability to enter in, search, and seize and detain without any limitations on scope. It's which also, by the way, commanded all citizens to assist in the executions of the writs of assistance, meaning you had to help them. All right, the fact that we have politicians right now in our own state capitol passing laws that willfully look aside from this, I mean, they knew. I told them personally. It's clear they have a fundamental lack of understanding or an appreciation or both of the massive importance of the Fourth Amendment. I suspect that sometime soon there will be a legal challenge to that aspect of the marijuana law, at least on purely constitutional grounds. But in the meantime, know this. A man's home is indeed his castle. You have an inherent right to an expectation of privacy. You cannot commit a violation of the law within your private space and expect it to be ignored. But all the same, it is required, by law, as an actual right, that there must be probable cause with a duly attested document and approved warrant before you can see that privacy violated. This is what separates us from the third world. It's important. It's a right. It's the Fourth Amendment to our U.S. Constitution. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you go. I mean, even when I'm digging in, I mean, I'm an attorney. I studied constitutional law. Doesn't mean that I sit around and read the Constitution every day. But I'd like to think that at the very least, I started off with a better than average understanding. Even when I'm getting ready to do this monologue and I'm researching the history on it, it's amazing to me to find those historical aspects that brought together what our founders said. You know what? We've lived under this. We've seen this. There's lawsuits in England that said this. Here's what we're going to do. And here we are 250 years later, and it still stands. That's amazing when you get down to it. All right, folks. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.